Hey, welcome everybody. Let's talk real estate. Your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man right in the middle, it's Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. Welcome back. It's another Tuesday. The sun is shining here in Southern California, another 75-degree day. Can't complain about that. I want to welcome everybody back. We're going to do a little talk about real estate. We're going to make some stuff up. We're going to hopefully give you some takeaways. And before we get going, I do want to do a shout-out, a hearty welcome to Prince Charles, who is here in the U.S. Meeting with the president. Who knows what they're talking about? Hopefully something productive. But we welcome him and all that hoopla is going on as we speak. In addition to that, we are in full swing with NHL hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs. So best of luck to the Southern California teams here or whoever you're rooting for around the country or north of the border. With all of that said, we thought we'd do a little different show today, and we thought we'd be forward-thinking and technology-thinking and less transaction-thinking, or talk about how it relates back to the transactions. But we thought we'd talk a little bit about AI since everybody else is talking about it. It is something that's prevalent in our business. It's something that we are constantly, over the past several months here, trying to get our arms around and trying to understand how it'll integrate in with not only the business and the operations, but also on the transaction side of real estate. So we thought we'd talk about how AI, we think, will affect the real estate transaction side and real estate companies going forward. Is that not correct, Paul? Did I get that memorized properly?
You got it. I'm telling you, when they say the word AI, it's like the old Charles Schwab commercial. You know, Charles Schwab's talking, and everybody would stop and hold up their hand to listen. You say the word AI, and everything stops. Oh, AI. AI, I'm told, will disrupt everything. I went to an event last year up in Beverly Hills, an exclusive event with Jeffrey Katzenberg, the guy that started DreamWorks. And his common theme throughout the whole talk was AI will change everything. So is this an industry that's going to change? Will real estate change at all because of AI?
Well, and I think it's going to change a lot of industries, right? You talk about the movie and the entertainment industry and what they do with AI that they could never do before, or what old technology they're replacing, or if it took 100 animators to come up with something, they can do it on the computer with a fraction of that time and a fraction of that effort. And so I think the common theme with AI is, how does it apply to your business? How does it help you streamline not only information but processes so that you can do things quicker and more efficiently? I'll give you a simple example. Last night I'm looking for a new TV online, and I'm trying to figure out what brand is better, and then each brand's got three or four different models, and so I don't know one from the other,
right?
And one's a lot cheaper, and one's got a better pixel, and one's got, you know, something else. And so all I did was just type in, you know, which one's better, and then it gave me all the pluses and minuses and the pros and cons. So that simple thing eliminated not only the time for me to go research a whole bunch of different things, but also the need for me to go into the store and, yeah, and talk to the tech at Best Buy or wherever I was going to go.
Which is maybe a bad thing. They want you to come in the store because then they can upsell you or sell you something else.
Right. Well, and then also think about the need for the person who's the expert in the electronics section that used to go there and ask them all these neat questions. Do you really, you know, need to do that? Same difference going to a camera shop or any sort of specialty shop where you're looking for information. You can get it readily online. And so I think those kinds of things will change the operations and the need for people and the need for expertise. Now, it doesn't eliminate people in and of itself, I don't think, and it doesn't eliminate the personal interaction and what you do with that information. But the sheer gathering of information allows you to, A, be more intelligent, be more educated, and then use that however you're going to do it. And so that's where I think the rubber meets the road with regards to the real estate.
So I'm reminded, you tell the story all the time, when you got started way back when, in whatever it was, the 90s or something here, or 80s or whatever. When did you start?
1989,
okay.
And so I tell people the story. So I started in October of 1989, and the real estate markets in Southern California crashed in November of 1989. So it was perfect timing. But what it did do is it gave me the opportunity, because nobody was working on a lot of deals, I didn't feel bad that I didn't have a lot of deals. But, you know, who knew that it made it more difficult to make a deal or get a deal because things were struggling along. And so what it did is it separated the boys from the men and the girls from the women, in that it really weeded a lot of people out of the business in the downturn of the market. And so you have this recurring theme, whether it's the recession at that point in the, you know, 1989 and early 90s, whether it was the dot bomb, whether it was the recession in 2007, whether it was COVID, you have a weeding out of people who go, hey, I can't hack this.
Right.
I can't do it. It doesn't make sense.
I'll find something easier.
Yeah. Or my expertise just doesn't fit with what's going on. And so you have a recurring cycle of that. And I think we're coming up on another one.
I think
with,
we are.
With this AI. And then the new term is, I got AI'd out, right?
Yeah.
And so it's an unfortunate circumstance.
So think about when you started. You tell the story all the time about there was a box of flyers, and people would say, go do some research, find a deal. And you'd say, where do I go? There's a box of flyers over in the corner. Just start sifting through them, and then get in your car, drive out there, drive the neighborhood. And then we had the multiple listing service, so now you could do it, look it up online. Will we even go to the multiple listing service, or will your AI assistant check all the listings, check all the information online, and then give you a full report in seconds?
Well, and I'll tell you how it works real time, at least from our perspective. The average person can go, if you're looking to buy a home or you're looking to research information on a home or how much is it worth or how much does Zillow or Redfin think it's worth.
Right.
And they're by no means experts, but they're gathering information from the neighborhood. They're gathering historical information. It's no different than, you know, trying to figure out what the value is of a car. Right. So, so the whole idea of going to buy a used car or even a new car, a lot of that information goes out the window because the customer then comes onto the lot educated. So when you apply that to real estate and you're going shopping and you have an idea of what a house is worth, it could cut both ways. You said, this house is worth, Zillow says it's worth $1 million. You have it listed for $1.5 million. Gee, I think it's overpriced.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? That means that I don't really need the agent to tell me what the market is. The agent can tell me all the comps in the market. The agent can run me a report. But if I feel like I could get that information readily online, what do I really need you for?
So does that replace agents or, in your business, brokers, people that you hire because they have an expertise in the market? They know what's available?
Well, I say no, because there's a huge difference between having information and then knowing how to use that information to your benefit. It's what you do with that information. So when the multiple listing first came out, or when you have access to information online on the commercial side of things, it's a LoopNet or it is a Redfin or something like that. So people say, well, I can just go look it up, or I can do it myself. What do I need a broker for? There's still that common misconception that if I don't use an agent or a broker to help me, I should get a better deal. And,
exactly.
And the truth of it is you're just going to get ripped off at the end of the day.
Right.
And so that's the most foolish piece of advice that I could give somebody is, you know, hire an expert. Just make sure you hire a good one that's going to add value. The question then becomes, how am I adding value? So if you as the consumer have access to information, then great. But now I'm going to tell you how to use that information, and I'm going to tell you which pieces of that information are really applicable to what your own circumstances are. Just because a house down the street sold for X doesn't make your house worth Y. Mm-hmm. Just because that house sold 2 years ago when interest rates were different and there wasn't a war doesn't mean in today's world you get more because you have nicer carpet or a bigger entry or whatever the case is. And so the same thing applies on the commercial side of things. It's real time. Right. And on the commercial side of things, you have other factors, which you talk about improvements. You talk about the credit of the tenant. You talk about the length of term of the lease.
The likelihood to close. You said all those things here. Yeah.
Sure. And so if it's a sale, it's one thing. If it's a lease, it's a different set of circumstances. And on the commercial side of things, as opposed to the residential side of things, for the most part, you take the emotion out of it. It's a business decision. Right. So people buy homes, and I don't want to demean the process, but you have to have
this home.
You fall in love with it, and you go, well, that's the one, and if I have to pay a little bit more, then I don't mind, right? As opposed to buying a car, and you go, well, it's a blue Honda. You know, there are other blue Hondas out there. It's going to be the exact same one. With this particular case, it isn't, right? And so that adds to the ebbs and flows of what somebody's willing to pay or what the transaction is. So I'll go back to people have said to me in a boardroom or in a meeting, hey, I can get this information online.
Exactly.
Right? Now, this is before AI. And then I said, that's great. What are you going to do with it? Right? Mm-hmm. And so no different than I would not hire an attorney to go to court for – I mean, I would not go to court on my own. I would hire an attorney to represent me. I would
right.
not prepare my taxes on my own. I would hire a CPA. There are specific consultants and specialties that you have to have, right? I mean, I could go AI and see what's causing my cough, right? But that doesn't replace my doctor. What it might do is make me stupid enough to think I know what I'm doing.
And I'll cure myself.
Or I will act based on the information that I got from AI and not from – an expert. Now it cuts the other way, which is the expert told me one thing and the computer's telling me a different thing. Who do I believe?
Right. That's the key. And I think what strikes me is that you guys don't just, in the old days, you gathered information. I didn't know where the deals were, and you have relationships. So maybe you find something that's off market or you dealt with this guy before and all that stuff. Now, some of that will be taken over by, first it was the computerized, you know, multiple listing service, and now it's AI is going to generate that. But it still has to negotiate.
Yes. So that's where I say it takes you to a point. If you want to analyze a neighborhood, you want to analyze a submarket, you want to analyze demographics, traffic patterns, crime indexes, those are great pieces of information that you could get readily, quickly, and easily in terms of using AI. And you can compare one neighborhood or one set of data to another very, very quickly, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no need to come in with the PowerPoint presentation
right.
anymore. There's no need to come in and say, hey, our research department did all of this, because you could do it, but I could also do it pretty easy. It doesn't have that much value, right? The value, I believe, going forward, even more so with AI, is what are you going to do with that information, and how is your expert going to add value to the transaction or the process?
But how does it affect the people starting? I saw Sir Neil Ferguson the other day talking about AI, this British, famous British historians all over, and he was on with George Will, and they were saying, is AI going to disrupt everything? He said, I'm not sure, but it will disrupt the entry-level market. So the Barrys of the world, the new Barrys who are starting off, who they sent out into the field or to go research something, I don't need Barry doing that. I don't need my young interns doing that anymore. What will those entry-level jobs be if AI is doing that heavy lifting, that research, that data collection?
Yeah, I still think you're in part taking that data and you're packaging it into something that you can utilize, again, to add value in the process. But I also think that the young people getting out of college looking for a first job, those that are more tech savvy, those that are more akin to using AI to create something for benefit, then they're going to have a much better shot at getting a job, keeping a job, excelling at their job.
I think so,
than
yeah.
somebody who just can't. And so I also think that puts pressure on the older workforce,
yeah.
who really doesn't have that capacity, who's you know just relinquished themselves,
or
to
has they're stuck in the way they've always done it.
Right.
It's always worked for me,
right? And so I'll call it, you know, we call it my office because it's me, old school, right? And so I am old school, and I do things, and people look at me and go, "Why do you do that?" Right? Why do you
still get in your car and drive around?
Well, you still get in your car and drive around because you want to see what's going on. I mean, in Southern California, you can drive around, there'll be a new town, you know, if you weren't there in a few months, which is the case in many instances, or a new intersection or a new streetlight or a new development. You don't get that in other parts of the country as much, but it's the information. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to add value? That's why you should hire me. That's why you should use me. And so I'll apply it to the younger person who's getting out of school. Why hire me versus someone else? And the
right.
answer is I'm tech savvy. I and not that I'm tech savvy that I know how to go on the internet and type up Google. It's I'm tech right. savvy that I'm familiar with AI, I'm familiar with software, I'm familiar with how to manipulate it, and I'm familiar with how to take the data that I get and then package it up. And that doesn't make you an expert in your field. What it does is it adds value, right? And so if I, as the boss, am old school, I would like somebody who is new school, who can help up the game and provide some of that expertise in the background. But then you still need to take that information and you have to apply it to the person who's the technician, right?
Yeah.
So in a real estate transaction on the brokerage side, whether it's residential, whether it's commercial, you need the business savvy of negotiating, and then you need the business savvy of the expertise of experiencing various different types of negotiations or transactions or situations.
And maybe there's some creativity involved. Talk about your son is just graduating. Did he graduate or is he going to graduate?
He's graduating in 2 weeks, but they told him...
From USC Film School.
Yeah, but they told him at school, if you're not able to utilize AI in what you're doing on a daily basis, you're done, right? I mean, you have to be able to do it. And that a lot of the positions that you would go to school for will potentially be either eliminated or consolidated as a result of AI. So you need to be able to also pick a profession and pick a specialty where you don't run the risk of getting AI'd out.
Right.
And so we interviewed for a property management position, and we got it down to three finalists. And I asked all three finalists, you know, how come you're here? Why are you looking for another job? And two of them said to me, I got AI'd out. Right. And I said, how did that happen? They said, look, I work for an apartment complex, and they decided that, you know, the person fielding all of the calls for all of the leads, they were just going to send it to a AI recording. Mm-hmm. And then the person who handled all the maintenance complaints and the customer service complaints, they were going to have it go to AI.
And a robot will take the answer and take action.
Yes. Right? And so you also don't run the risk in those scenarios of somebody chewing your ear off for 30 minutes, good or bad.
Right.
Or asking 100 questions or taking up part of your day.
Or missing the call or not.
Or getting blamed for bad information, right?
Right.
So in these instances, the call is recorded. In these instances, the information is what it is. And in these instances, you know, somebody's not yelling or berating or killing half a day of your staff.
Because the AI can actually talk with a customer. The AI converse with them. The AI can listen to them and take action that you've taught it and trained it how to do. You can teach it to do all these elementary skills that you used to rely on people doing. So there's an instance where AI may affect your industry, where some of that legwork of taking inquiries or taking customer complaints may get turned over to a bot.
Yeah, well, and I think you have to break it down. You have the operation side of real estate, and you have the transactional side of real estate, right? So on the operation side, I definitely think that there's efficiencies in process. There's the ability to consolidate. There's the ability to get better, quicker, more information, less expensively. And that may cause people to, lack of a better term, get AI'd out.
Right.
It will also cause business owners to reevaluate what people are doing during the day. Right, and then how they're doing it. So if somebody says, hey, I have to go research this, I'd be like, why didn't you just go ask AI? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I used to always say, hey, I'm calling my friend Google.
Right.
Now it's just going to be, I'm calling my friend AI, who's my new best friend.
Right.
And so why did it take you half a day to go figure something out that would take someone else, you know, 4 minutes?
Yeah,
exactly. And so then it gets back to how efficient are you? And if you're not able to do it and you ultimately go back in the workforce, I feel like it really becomes a challenge.
Yeah.
And so for those people who are not akin to it, I think it makes it even more difficult going forward. You know, when computers came out, which wasn't that long ago,
right?
You know, everybody was
lifetime.
Like, yeah, you know, people are trying to figure out how to type, and they're hunting and packing, and people are trying to figure out, you know, what does it mean to send something to the printer and all of those things. And
how even, to make a spreadsheet. And
yeah, even your grandmother, you know, could figure it out ultimately, right? Even with a cell phone, ultimately you figure it out because it becomes mainstream. I feel like going forward, the use of AI and the use of information will just become mainstream. And then we're back to apply it to your daily life.
Right.
And so I would just say, you know, I'm not getting AI'd out. And whether it's me or whether it's anybody else out there, you should say to yourself, I'm not getting AI'd out. If I'm in a position where there's personal interaction and where someone is relying on me to either
make a judgment or to be creative, right?
Yes, or take that information and use it, or take that information and provide it to me in the pieces that I need, or use it as leverage in a negotiation, that's where I'm adding benefit. So when the multiple listing first came out, we'd say, hey, look, everybody's got access to that information. It used to be only the big companies have access to that information.
Right.
That's why you would hire a big company. So you could say, I hired the biggest. Biggest doesn't mean best because you didn't get the whole company. If there's 1,000 people who work for a big company and there's 10 people who work for a small company, that it doesn't make the big company better. I mean, right. If that's what you want, I used to tell people, hey, look, you want to hire the biggest company? I'm not it.
Right.
Just go hire the biggest company and you know who it is, right? Just go look it up or
that
they,
makes
they
you
already
feel
told
comfortable.
You.
Yeah.
If that's what you want, I'm out of here. Right? Don't right. waste your time or mine. If you want to save some money, sit back down and then let me show you how I'm going to save you some money. And then you go ask that biggest company how they're going to save you money. And then you decide. If you had your pen in your hand and you care about how much you write that check for, whether it's on a monthly basis for your lease, whether it's to buy the building.
And who doesn't? You say that like, oh, no, I don't care.
and whether it's a sales pitch or it's the truth, it's both, right? And so what it is, look, you want money left over to go play golf. You want money left over to go have dinner. You want money left over to send your kid to college. You hire me.
Right.
You want the biggest company out there? You go hire that guy.
And feel good that you've got the wood paneled offices and all that stuff. So here's the question I always ask as we come to the close here. We were downstairs, we're at UCI's Applied Innovation Center. This whole building is filled with AI, and this debate goes on all the time in this building. Every event I go to is an AI-driven thing. And the question I always ask is, let's say the creative arts, like your son's came in, will the next Da Vinci be a robot? Will the next Spielberg be a robot? Will the next Beethoven be a robot? Or, in other words, will it replace all creative people? Or will it be a tool that those creative people use to get better?
Yeah, it's going to be an enhancer, right? I say. And whether it's the entertainment industry, whether it's customer service in any industry, and whether it's in the real estate industry, it's going to be an enhancer. It's going to be an access to information. It's going to make your job and your life quicker and easier. You got to figure out how to embrace it and apply it to what you're doing. And then if you are in sales, then you have to figure out how to apply that to whatever your pitch or your presentation is. Now, you also can look at it from the perspective of prospecting, of dialing, of emailing, of marketing campaign, of people who come to your website and want to get information. How
Absolutely.
Do you track that? How do you use it? How do you call them back? Right? I mean, no different than you're on your phone and you're Googling around and you look up, oh, I don't know, golf shoes, right? And then the next thing you know, a week later, you go turn on the computer and there's five things of golf shoes. People are going to track your tendencies.
Right.
So you also need to understand that one as well. But when it gets back to the real estate transactional side of things,
still needs a human.
There's no replacing negotiating. If you believe that you can take that information and negotiate on your own, then go do it. And then I say you should go to the parking lot and buy your own car with whatever information you found. And then, you know, God bless you, wherever you end up with.
Build your own house, do your own taxes, grow your own food, whatever it is that you think you can do. Theoretically, the AI can tell you how to do all those things. It may not tell you how to do it well, and it'll give you three choices, and it won't decide which one's the best.
Yeah, but look, at the end of the day, AI is not going to make you a good negotiator. At the end of the day, AI is not going to give you a personality.
Right.
And at the end of the day, AI is not going to give you the job that you interviewed for. You will get that job. It's what you say and what you do. But if you can use the AI to help incorporate what you say, you will sound better, and it will give you a better shot in life. So
in the short run, do you think it will help smaller companies take on the bigger companies because they'll be more nimble and adapt to this, or will the reverse? The bigger companies can invest in this technology, and it'll give them at least a selling point. Hey, we've got all this technology here.
Yeah, and I think you're still going to see a bigger company say, hey, the transactional guy, he's not the techie guy. We got to still hire a techie guy to be able to use all of that stuff. And so you'll see a place for that within both sizes of companies in terms of how you incorporate it into your daily business. But the other thing is, as a small business owner, whatever industry that you're in, you got to look at it and go, okay, how's this going to save me money? How's this going to save me time?
And keep me competitive if others are doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we're really at the beginning stages of how this evolves. Everybody is now, as you say, talking about it. And everybody is jumping on the bandwagon saying, I can be your consultant and I can be the person that takes you to the next level. I think as a business owner, you've got to look at what is it that I'm trying to accomplish. And it's a phase thing. You're not jumping from A to Z in one step. And then it's going to be like the internet. I mean, next month something else is going to come out.
I'll give you an interesting take as we wrap this up here. I was downstairs at it was Innovation Week here in Orange County, so the whole building was filled up with all these organizations, Octane and Tech Coast Venture Network, and all these places that are trying to find the next big thing here. And at the end, they had a pitch fest. They had a Shark Tank kind of event where everybody stood up and pitched their various ideas. And this year, they only wanted ones that had to do with AI. So 50 companies stood up, and they all had to have an AI angle to their new business pitch. Investors didn't want to hear anything if it didn't have the letters AI in it. I thought that was fascinating.
Yeah. So there's no more sell me this pen.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's sell me this pen with some AI attached.
Yeah. Sell me the pen and tell me how I can use AI to make this pen better. It's fascinating. AI is everywhere. I suspect we're going to be figuring this out for some time to come here. Thanks for giving us your insight today on AI in real estate.
Yeah. And thanks for everybody else for tuning in. And we'll see you back here next week on more Let's Talk Real Estate.
There you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.